We're talking about the scripture from 2 Corinthians this morning, to 2 Chronicles rather. I will be looking at 2 Corinthians too, but we'll look at this one. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. Strong on our behalf. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. I've got in brackets there the word perfect, peaceable, friendly. If you have a Strong's Concordance, they'll be the first words that you see. It says, in effect, that's what it means. In fact, that's what it does mean in the Hebrew, salem, which you can say that's perfect, but it's peace, friendliness. And some versions say whose heart is complete towards him. That's a good translation or interpretation. But in fact, the word is relational. Everything that God says to us is relational. Being in the Western world and interpreting or translating the Bible, you'll find that because of the Greek and Roman heritage, most of the words that are taken from the original language are put into the category of what you might call jurisprudence or I won't say legal, but almost bureaucratic. This is what you are commanded to do. Have a perfect heart. Yes. God knows we can't do that of ourselves, but we can have a heart towards him that is peaceable and friendly. In fact, if you want to get to an English word, it would describe this as fond, to be fond in your heart. The closeness of a friendship is what the Lord is looking for in our hearts. If we could see the whole Bible as God's word to us speaking relationally, we would get to know his love, live in his love, and allow his love to flow through us. And that love would cast out all fear. Except for one fear, which is the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So how do we get that fear? Do we just get terrified that we're going to be judged and punished? Is that what it is? Now, the Bible describes that in Jeremiah chapter 31 when it speaks of the new covenant, and it speaks to the kind of blessing that God gives us as part of the new covenant. This is what he says. And I will put my fear in their hearts that they will not depart from me. Not the fear so that they'll run as far as they can because I'm chasing them to punish them. I will put that fear in them that they will not depart from me. In other words, that sense of dread, Lord, I can't do without you. As David used to say, take not your Holy Spirit from me. And then he rejoices when he says, wherever I go, you're with me. It doesn't matter where I am. You see, that's the fear of the Lord that he had, that he would not feel isolated from God. I want that fear. I hope that I never get so blasé that I can say, oh, she'll be right. I want to be confident that I can always say, it is right. God is there. And he has said he will never, ever leave me. And that's the fear of God we can have in our hearts as well. But remember, God speaks relationally to us. So this scripture here is telling us that God is strong on our behalf to those whose heart is friendly, fond towards him, salem, peaceable. God sees a fonder heart towards him as the ground and soil that allows entry for a mustard seed of faith to grow into acts of creative faith. In fact, I was going to call this entry-level faith. Faith has to start somewhere. I prefer entry-level things. I like to know, how do you start? Where do you start? What are the terms of agreement here? Look at the covenant, all the things that he does. An entry-level faith is something that allows the tiniest response that we've got, like a mustard seed. Lord, I trust you. I see my helplessness, but I see your greatness. I see your love. I know what Jesus done. I see that. This is what I can bring you. Is I trust in that. I call upon your name. And that is all that's needed. A grain of a mustard seed is enough to, in fact, that seed, as you know, gives growth to the greatest tree that there is, that great oak tree. So this is where faith begins, and this is where it stays. I know we grow in faith. Every day of my life, I like to start right from the beginning. So I just want to know how to walk through that door absolutely confident into that throne of grace where I receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's the same beginning. Let me read the scripture to you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. When I received the Lord, knew I was embraced in his love, and responded and said yes, that was totally his work and my response. And that was absolutely life-changing in one moment of time. That was, Lord, you took away all the fear. You brought love and peace. You brought hope. And it was there. Then came the walk in him. But the walk was no different from the beginning. Because every day it is, Lord, you're there. You take away the fear. You do take away the hopelessness. As you have received the Lord, in the same way that you allow him to have you, have your heart, that is the way you do the walk. Even though we grow in faith, in the experience of faith, and become, as it were, accustomed to surrendering to the flow of his life as opposed to that resistance that we have when we feel we have to yield up some of our control over things. As we yield to him, that allows something to become basically the fabric of our life. And that brings a growth of faith, of course, an experience of faith. And it is what you have experienced in your lives as you endure and go through the things you're going through now. And so many have gone through things that they've had to endure. I know that. We spoke last week in the scriptures about the saints of the old covenant who endured and endured. And so as we are able to go through remembering that he is always there, he is strong on our behalf, as we develop that sense of response, Lord, I am getting to know that your goodness is there. There's something in my heart that has a fondness. I don't want to be isolated from you. That is relational. It is obedience, because it's what the gospel says, that we are to believe in his name, but it is relational. The reason I'm saying all of this is that in the last couple of weeks, I've been bringing a pretty strong challenge to people about having the real faith. And it may have sort of made people feel, you mean I've got to get his faith, and it's got to be based upon what he actually says. It's not just quoting the scripture. It's not a formula. It is actually, I've got to get divine faith. That's too hard. Hey, listen, I'm not pulling back on that, but I'm saying, no, look, it's entry level. It is simply saying, Lord, you're the one that's going to be strong on my behalf. And it's not my strength. It is my heart that does not want to be far from you. And that is where faith starts, and that is how it continues. And in that way, we do get to hear what he says, and faith outworks itself as we yield to that. So let me read this next line. Trying too hard to have faith can make a person restless rather than restful. Well, look at the scripture again. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Let's make that restful. Remember I said the words that he uses, the words that the Holy Spirit put in the scripture, they're relational, they're not bureaucratic. Well, let's read this scripture another way. I'm going to read it unrelationally. And all I'm going to do is just read what it says. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so you go and walk in him. What did you do? You surrendered your life to God? Well, keep surrendering. And you walk in him? I want to see the walk, not just the talk. That can sound, okay, I will do the best I can. Now let me read to you those words as I've just said them, say from the original language. As you therefore have received, and the word there, the word that we could use, which is a strong word, but I'm not using the real word that's here. The word we could use is a word that's received, which doesn't just mean received in the letterbox and you leave it there. It means as we've taken hold of, lambano. As you have taken hold of the word, as you have taken hold of Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. The word walk in the original language is pateia, means fight with your feet. You walk. As you've taken hold of him, so walk in him. Well, that's nice and that's straightforward. But they are not the words that have been used. Those words that I've just said are added to in the original language. As you therefore have not just lambana, embrace the Lord, it says, paralambana, that means the word para, like we get parallel, alongside. As, and the word paraclete, the Holy Spirit, the one who comforts, comes alongside. It is not just as you have taken hold of God, but as you have taken hold of him, been taken hold of, and have him alongside of you. That's the thought. Can we stop here? Can you think of that now? receiving Christ Jesus the Lord is not just coming out the front and saying, I receive Jesus Christ the Lord as my Lord and Savior. No, it is actually taking a hold, embracing Him, and having Him embrace you, and knowing that you are alongside of Him, never to have that bond broken. That is receiving Christ Jesus the Lord. That's I call that relational. So walk in Him. Remember the word for walk? Patea. Walk in Him. Walk the talk. Well, this is not just pateo, walk. It is peripateo. So we've got a para and a peri. Holy Spirit embellishes, He makes these words extravagant. It's not just walking. It means everywhere you go. It's not just walking in a straight line. It means when you stop, when you go to the side, it is around about you. Everywhere you are, He is with you when you are walking. Every single thing that happens, you can tend to think, well, this is my walk in the Lord. And today, the walk in the Lord happened at about 5% of the time because I was actually walking in the way He wanted me to. I'll tell you, it was happening 100% of the time because He's not going to let you out of His sight. And if you go down a blind alley, He'll be down there too. The only thing is to remember that everywhere you go, He is peri, He is around you, He is there walking with you. And when you come back and say, maybe I shouldn't have gone down there. That decision seemed to cause more stress and I lost my peace. Oh, Jesus, I left you. He said, no, you didn't leave me. I was there. And now we're here. And now that we're here, let's talk about what happened when you were there. That's walking with the Lord. And I can do that 100% of the time because a lot of the time I might be down there instead of right online. But the beautiful thing is when I wake up to myself and come to myself and say, that strife was just caused by my own anxiety. How silly. Lord, I'm sorry I walked away. He says, no, you told me you never wanted to be departed from me. I wasn't gone. I was there. What did you learn? Oh, well, I learned that I sometimes open my big mouth and I felt I needed to justify myself there. Well, you don't have to worry about that. Did you really learn that? Yes. Well, next time, will you trust me? Yeah, thank you. Oh, that's nice. And your heart grows fonder. And He gets stronger on our behalf. And the mustard seed can start to grow. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, as you've embraced and have Him alongside of you, then you walk in Him so that He's with you everywhere. They're relational words. They can make us feel restful about having faith. Jesus has told us that we're His friends. Alongside Him, who helps us as we wait for Him. Wherever you are, in whatever circumstances, with a new kind of hope for a new kind of faith. Would you like that? It's not hard. It's not hard. He's just waiting to take us. John 15:15. I'm no longer calling you servants, because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends, because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. Wow. That's His idea. Right? That's His idea. That's the way He wants it. That's where He's heading with us. And then He's patiently waiting for us. You want to come on board? Would you like that? Yeah, but Lord, I'm very busy. I don't know if I've got time to really think too much about that. I've got a lot of things I've got to do. Well, say, okay, when you're ready, you will find that this will change your life. I want to let you in on things. I want to let you know what I've heard from the Father about you every day. I want to do it. If I can get you, if I can get your attention, I'll do it. Now how does this happen? Next scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received, and that is that embrace, I'm taking hold of, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Now, right before we go any further, what does that imply? That means a choice. You do have the Spirit of God, and we do have the Spirit of the world, and you can choose which one you want to take on board. The thing is, what he's saying here is what we've chosen, we have taken hold of the Spirit of God, not the Spirit of the world, which we could do with its manoeuvring, manipulation and dodgy and self-advantage and all of those things. We could do that. The kind of anxiety that comes with that unknown, chaotic spirit of the world. No, you've received the Spirit of who is from God. Why? That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. I'd like to know that. That's what we have. 1 Corinthians 4:22. Things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's and Christ is God's. So this becomes the expectation of discovering God's awareness and consideration of our neediness. If we could just sort of allow this to be the thought pattern for a long stretch of time, there'd be this awareness that he was there considering us. Things would happen that only he could arrange. You've all experienced that. We begin to realize how mindful of us he is. Hebrews 2, what is man that you're mindful of him? And I'm going to finish with this scripture from Psalm 139. God's thoughts towards us. Intentional. We become his thought of us as we flow with him. I could ask you the question, who do you think you are? Well, you will think you are the thought that you have of yourself. That's who you will think you are. That's who you'll be. But if you will think of God's thought of who you are, you will become that person, which is his thought of who you are. In fact, that's who you are. And you'll know it one day. You say, oh, Lord, why didn't you tell me that was who I was? I tried to. But you had another idea. But it wasn't my idea. That's what my parents told me I was. Yeah, well, I came along with a better idea of who you are. But even some of my friends thought this. Yeah, well, I thought this. This is who you are. Psalm 139:17. How precious it is, Lord, to realize that you're thinking about me constantly. This is by David. And what was David's heart? His heart was fond towards the Lord. You're thinking about me constantly. I can't even count how many times a day your thoughts turn towards me. And when I waken in the morning, you are still thinking of me. And to me, that's entry-level faith. In the morning, oh Lord, here it is. You're thinking of me. Now I'm awake. Now, yeah, let's go through this door of embracing, of receiving again and walking together again. And the word for thought, of God's thoughts towards us, as David wrote, that the word in the original language means an intentional thought. It's not just a random thought, oh yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, she does exist. No, it's not that. Oh, for God, yeah, that's right, I made her too. No, it's not just all of a sudden he remembers that you're there. It is constantly an intentional thought for your goodness, for your welfare, that will keep you on track. I mean, he set it up. So can I read the original scripture? For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself, to demonstrate it, strong on behalf of those whose heart is peaceable, friendly, salim towards him. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us as the apple of your eye, providing us with your faith, but providing us with the ground and the soil into which our little mustard seed can fall so that it can be nurtured. Have the water of your spirit water it, and the sunshine of your love pull it up out of the earth, cause it to grow, bring forth fruit, and enjoy the salvation that we've been given in you. In Jesus' name, amen.